Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And good morning, or good afternoon, or possibly good evening to each and every one of you. Thanks for jumping in and spending some time with us on the podcast. Glad to have Caleb back and looking forward to jumping back into Zechariah chapter number 9. What we've learned so far is that God is making a prediction. Mm-hmm. And that prediction is that the cities to the north, like Damascus and Tyre and Sidon, and these notable strong cities, and then the cities to the west, the Philistine strongholds, are all going to be wiped out. And historically, we know that that happened in the 330s BC when Alexander the Great and the Grecian army began their march ultimately against Persia. That would ultimately result in the destruction of the Persian Empire and the setting up of the Grecian Empire. So yesterday, Caleb, we got talking about why did Jerusalem escape if Alexander's taking all these bigger cities, mm-hmm. all these stronger nations, then how does Jerusalem escape this sweeping army of Greece?
Yeah.
I think I left us with a cliffhanger.
Right. I was about to say the same thing. We're talking about God's providence and, you know, how God doesn't mention here that Jerusalem's going to be taken. And then we left off with that cliffhanger as we were discussing Josephus's writings.
So verse 7 is where we'll start today. I'm going to come back to that cliffhanger in a moment. So verse 7, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. So in other words, the Philistines were known for their abominations as far as their worship of false idols and the blood sacrifices to them and the unclean meat that they ate. So I'm going to use this destruction of Alexander, of the Philistines, actually for their good. But he that remaineth, even he shall be for our God and shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. So when David overtook Jerusalem years before from the Jebusites, he allowed the Jebusites to remain in the land and to be subsumed into the Israel economy, the Jewish religion. And so what God is saying here is, while this is going to be incredibly destructive for the Philistines, individuals are going to be able to join into the country of Israel, and this will actually be good for them, not bad. It'll be a blessing. So that there's a measure of grace there.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about the history of the Philistines and Israel, and you would assume that everybody would be wiped out at this time. But like you said, you just see a measure of God's grace in this, that he would still allow some of them not only to survive, but to thrive and to become leaders within the Jewish community.
Right. And even in David's kingdom, you saw a little bit of that, that there were some of these that would come over and serve David. And forgetting the one guy's name right now, I can't believe I am. But anyway, that it's wonderful when the stranger, the Bible calls the person that's not born a Jew, the stranger is able to partake in the benefits of God's people. Mm. And let's face it, my friends, if you're a Gentile, if you're a non-Jew, then you're a stranger. I'm a stranger. We've been grafted in. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, the privileges of grace and the opportunity for Messiah have been given to us too. It's a wonderful picture of God's mercy. Now, cliffhanger. So I said yesterday that Alexander came sweeping down from the north, which he did, defeated Tyre, defeated the cities of the Philistines. But Josephus, the historian, tells us that then he began to march toward Jerusalem. So with his army, Alexander's going up to Jerusalem. And the high priest at Jerusalem is a man by the name of Jaddua at that point. J-A-D-D-U-A. Jaddua or Jaddua. And he is just as afraid as he can be. We are going to get wiped out. They're in fear. But God appears to him in a vision and lets him know that he needs to not be in fear. He needs to just submit himself, present himself to Alexander. So the high priest gets in all of his royal regalia. Is this a cool story or what?
I know, I'm already hooked.
And all the priests, you know, the Levites are wearing their white linen. And like a parade, they leave Jerusalem and head toward the Grecian army. They head toward Alexander. Well, Alexander has with him some of the Syrians and some of the Phoenicians that have joined the Grecian army now, and they hate Israel.
Yeah.
So they're looking forward to bloodshed. They're looking forward to pillaging. They're looking forward to just mopping up here. Well, when Alexander sees them and sees the royal regalia they're wearing, the priestly garb, and their humility and the way that they're saluting Alexander, Alexander extends a right hand and gives them peace. And Parmenio, who is the second in command to Alexander, again, my friends, read this because it's amazing. So Parmenio, the second in command, says to Alexander, "What are you doing? Like, why are you right. being merciful to these people? We're wiping people out now. Now's not the time to be soft, God." Yeah. Here's what Alexander says. He says, "When I was back in Macedonia and I was considering how I was going to take over the world, I saw a vision. And in the vision was this man, this high priest with these clothes." And he was saying that God told him to tell me, "Go quickly. You're going to succeed. Go with speed." And he said, "So I can't." Because Parmenio said, "Are you going to honor this man?" He said, "No, I'm going to honor this man's God." So they went to the temple. And Alexander had Jaddua offer sacrifices for him to God.
Wow.
Now, again, I'm not saying that Alexander got saved, but I'm saying there was a sense of God here. Well, it's better than that, because then Alexander says, the priest says, "Hey, listen, we know you're going to conquer the world. God told us." Matter of fact, this is so cool. Jaddua shows Alexander the books of Daniel's prophecy. He shows him what Daniel said about him, the big horn and Greece and defeating the Persians. So basically, Jaddua said, "God told us that you're going to win. This was going to happen." And Alexander said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Here's what you can do for us. When you meet Jews throughout the Persian Empire, let them worship God. Let them keep the laws of the Bible. Let them obey God." And then Alexander said, "Okay, done." And then he said this, "And if anybody in Israel wants to join my army, I will let them join my army and keep all of their kosher laws. I'll have a special unit just for the Israelites if they want to join us." Is that not the coolest story?
Wow. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to read that right after we're done.
So what do you see? You see God using prophecy, God using his people, God orchestrating world events. I mean, it is just so awesome. So back to verse 7, where the Bible says, verse 8 rather, "And I will encamp about mine house because of the army." So when God talks about his house, he's talking about his people. Mm-hmm. So mine house, my people, my family, we would say today. So what does God say about Israel as far as Alexander sweeping through the north, sweeping through Philistia? God says, "Yeah, but I'm going to guard my house because of the army, because of him that passeth by." Well, that's what I just explained.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. God is still in control. God is still guarding his people, protecting his people. It doesn't matter what world powers may arise. God is still the protector of his people, and he won't let anything happen unless he wills it.
So he is protecting them. So it's not that God protects. That's the question here. It's how does God protect? So who could have come up with that story that I just told? But that's the way God did it. Yeah. So what the story I just told is the fulfillment of verse 8. I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them anymore. For now I have seen with mine eyes. So God, I'm going to show you something. God says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how I can protect. I can even protect you from the king of the world who's wiping out the world and wiping out the people that wiped out you. What a lesson God is showing them.
Right. It's just a continuous, through this whole book, you see God's continued promise of that he's in control. He's the one who has authority. And whatever he wants for his people, it's going to come to pass. And it doesn't matter what world power is going to try to stop it. God can still work a victory no matter what.
It's interesting that God did use Alexander the Great to defeat Persia. He pressed as far as Babylon, which was now under Persian control, but the city of Babylon. And there Alexander died at age 32. Mm-hmm. So Alexander got to the place where Daniel lived and wrote of Alexander's victory. Huh. And you have to imagine that with that impetus in Alexander's mind, that he loved getting to Babylon. Where's Daniel's house? Where did Daniel serve? Where did Daniel write? Because that was God saying, Alexander, I have ordained this for you.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, that sometimes you study the Bible, sometimes you forget to study out some of the history of it, but you see here just in today going over these things, how important it is and how we see God's promises are sure and they become true. But just to see him, especially with that story of how he had been with Jaddua, and he had shown him Daniel's writings.
The books of Daniel.
Right. And so he says, there's this guy who wrote about me. This is the guy who knew I was going to win this victory. It's his God. And it's kind of fitting that he would pass at that place.
All truth, if it is truth, is going to point toward the veracity of the Bible. So valid history and valid archaeology are not the enemies of the student of the Bible. They're the friends of the student of the Bible. Yeah. Because there was nothing to fear. The Bible is true. Therefore, collected evidence, previously unknown, but that is now known, is only going to corroborate what we see in the Word of God. So I hope that helps today, my friends. I really appreciate you bearing with us a little bit. I know we talked about some extra biblical things today with that historical account, but what a heartwarming story to think that God takes that much, pays that much attention to his people, and that promise is yours as well. He loves you. He's caring for you. He has a plan for your life. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.